Right, good morning, everybody. Welcome to our special annual Chodesh Shir, once a month, Sunday morning at the Young Israel of Woodmere. I had to choose a topic what to speak about, of course, and I have a number of Shirim online already on YUTAR about Divrei Hisorus for Elul and Tishrei. And I thought, you know what I want to talk about? Moshe's demise. I want to talk about Moshe Rabbeinu. Why? Because I think the title of today's Shir really encapsulates how I feel about the end of Moshe Rabbeinu's life. And the parsha is called V'zos HaBracha. The shir is called V'zos HaBracha, the parsha that gets lost in the shuffle. Shuffle meaning the day of dancing and Simchas Torah. And Moshe goes out very, very quietly. We forget almost that Moshe's dies in this week's parsha. I just want to share a story of Hashkacha with you before we go. I'm going to tell you the shir dedication. We are learning L'Ilui Nishmas Reb Moshe Yosef ben Reb Meir Alav Hashalom. His yurtzeit was on Tes Zayin Elul. His Nesham B'Sharam and Aliyah in the merit of our Torah. His daughter Rachel is joining us. But I just want to tell you an unbelievable story of Hashkacha this summer. It's not related to the shir, but we could always use the story of Hashkacha Pratis. And this summer when I was on my way home from Chicago, there was from people are like always related, even if you never met them in your life. So there was a woman with her little boy, her son, in front of me. So it's a long flight from Chicago. So we started talking. She asked me why I was in Chicago. I asked her where she lives, et cetera, et cetera. We started talking. And we found out we have a common friend. Friend in common. Okay, so then we continued to text after the flight. And just mamish Thursday, I was thinking when I was preparing the shir, I don't have a shir dedication, and I like to dedicate the shir, because we should dedicate the Torah for something. That was Thursday. Friday, I thought, I should really text Rachelie to say Good Shabbos. Literally, 30 seconds after I thought that, but I speak MS. Rachelie texted me, hi, are you giving a shir on Sunday? I said, whoa. I said, I happen to be, yes. I said, is it for your father's yahrzeit? On the plane, we spoke about a number of things. So she's joining us all the way from Brooklyn. L'ilui Nishmas, her father, Reb Moshe Yosef, Ben Meir, Alav Hashalom. For those of you who learn with me, I can't not mention, that there was a terror attack today in Yerushalayim, a shooting rampage. Two were murdered, Hashem Yikom Damo. Should be the first and the last of 5777. 29-year-old Yosef Kerma, Hashem Yikom Damo, survived by his wife, parents, two brothers. His levaya will be on Har Herzl Military Cemetery Sunday, 5:30 p.m. The last I checked, the name of the second one of the Kedoshim, a 6-year-old woman, was not released. Okay, we have a problem. I told you don't need a chumash. But I realize that, don't get up, I'm going to read it to you, okay? Because you really don't need a chumash. I just want to read you the end of V'zos HaBracha, okay? Chapter 34, Perek Lamed Daled. Just listen to the words, we're not really going to be focusing on this. I want you to hear the end of V'zos HaBracha. Vayah Moshe me'arvos Moav al har Nevo. Moshe went up from the plains of Moab to the mountain of Nevo, which is where he died, the top of the peak facing Yericho. And Hashem showed him the whole land. We're not going through Rashi, who explains this on the level of the Drash, the Gilad to Dan, Naphtali, the land of Ephraim and Manasseh, the land of Yehuda until the western sea, the Negev, the plains, Yericho, dates. Okay. And he says, this is the land that I swore to your forefathers, Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov. To your children I will give this land. Here, Isicha be'enecha, v'shamalota avar. See it with your eyes, and there you shall not cross. V'ayamasha Moshe, Eved Hashem, v'eretz Moav al pi Hashem. His last wish, his greatest desire, remained unfulfilled. And there Moshe died, the servant of God, in the land of Moab, by the word of God. Vayikbar also begai. He buried him in the depression. Machlokas did Moshe bury himself. The Gemara says, Sota 14a, the Torah ends with Chesed. Hashem buried Moshe. Opposite Pa'ar, Velo Yada Ish Es Kuraso Arayam Mazah. We do not know where Moshe is buried. Moshe was 120 years old on his death. His eyes did not dim. His moisture did not leave him. The children of Israel cried for Moshe for 30 days. The days of mourning finish, and Yehoshua ben Nun was full of wisdom. Moshe gave him smicha. The children of Israel listened to him, and they did. Kasher Tziva Hashem is Moshe, like God commanded Moshe, a prophet like Moshe never arose, who knew Hashem face to face, for all the wonders and the signs that Hashem sent him to do in the land of Egypt, to Paro and all his servants, ulchal hayad hachazaka, for the strong hand, ulchal hamora hagada, and the great wonders, asher asa Moshe, that Moshe did, le'enei kol Yisrael, his greatest legacy, is that everything he did was for the benefit of and before the eyes of the children of Israel. The end of an era, the end of the promise of the Messiah in its time, the end of our glorious, exalted, sublime, miraculous desert existence, the end of the leader who sacrificed his all for the good of the people. V'zos ha-bracha, Moshe's death, Yehoshua takes over as the leader of the Bnei Yisrael, the man of Torah, the Bechinas Torah, the essence of Torah, the Moshe of Torah's Moshe, meets his earthly demise, and we take leave of him on the busy day of Simchas Torah, the Yom Tov of rejoicing with the Torah, v'zos ha-bracha, the parasha that gets lost in the shuffle. Perhaps it is no accident that Moshe, the most humble man to ever live, let me just tell you what's on your handouts. I'm going to be quoting certain psukim, certain pieces we're going to be going through together, but certain psukim I'm quoting in regard to Moshe, and I wanted you to have them. The most humble man to ever live, first pasuk on your handout, Va'ish Moshe, Anav Ma'or, Mikol Ha'adam, Asher Alpanei Ha'adam. Moshe was the most humble man to ever live on the face of the earth. It's interesting to consider that his humility in his life is his humility in his death. He takes leave of us quietly on a day of Yom Tov that is so hectic that we might forget. On this day, we learn of his death. A number of years ago, and I've told this over before, but I think I tell it over every year at the end, I said to a friend after I finished the learning V'zos HaBracha, I said, it's so sad, Moshe dies. So she says to me, quote, Michal, you knew it was coming. So of course, it's a true story. Of course, I laughed and I still smile to this day. And yet, every year Moshe dies once again. This is not something that he died. We who journey with him, who learn from him, who are inspired by him, who carry the Torah after him, mourn his death anew every year on the same day that we celebrate the Torah that he gave us. And that's the key to V'zos HaBracha. There's the mourning of the death and the celebration of the Torah that lives on. So while his physical self departed, his spiritual legacy is eternal. And therefore, and dare I say, it's true of every Jew who takes leave of us, hopefully after 120, the physical being is no longer, and the spiritual legacy lives on forever. With his death, our hopes for redemption that might have happened oh so long ago were finished. Of Soloveitchik teaches, quoting the Medrash, Moshe was ready to be the Messiah. Moshe should have been Mashiach. Soloveitchik quotes the Medrash. And yet, why was Moshe not the Mashiach, says the Rav? The people were not ready. Which makes us wonder, ladies, in how many generations have we had the Messiah born since? And yet we were not ready. But Moshe, the greatest man to ever live, was ready to be Mashiach. The people were not worthy and ready to have him. He was the leader, says the Rav, who was not accepted and appreciated enough by his generation, and therefore they lost the zchus to have them lead, being led by him into Eretz Yisrael. Had he led them into Eretz Yisrael, Soloveitchik teaches, Jewish destiny would have been fulfilled. History would have been ended. Who could imagine that 29-year-old, I'm sorry, I don't remember his name, would not have been killed today had Moshe led us into Eretz Yisrael. He would have been the Messiah, and our national goal would have been complete. Perhaps now, Oive, I'm sorry. Baruch Ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Shehakol Nehi Abedvaro. I was so excited when I finished preparing the shiur Thursday after class. I had class in the morning, I had a shiur at night, and in the afternoon I spent the day working, and I was so excited because we don't get to pay, not that he needs us to pay tribute to him, but we don't get to pay really tribute to Moshe Rabbeinu and the life that he led because of Amilein V'zos HaBracha. It's okay, that's what Chazal wanted, I understand. But how could we finish our year of learning without talking about his death? Perhaps now we can understand the second verse on your handout. There are handouts on the bima in the middle. Please take one. You don't need a chumash. Gam bihi sanaf Hashem beglalcham lemor. Gam ata lo tavosham. Hashem became angry at me because of you. The footnote tells you the source on the bottom, saying you will not go there. So when I was preparing, I had sort of an epiphany. Baruch Balkeach Ivrim. Maybe now we have an answer. There are different answers as to how Moshe could have said this. He's blaming the people that he's not allowed to go into Eretz Yisrael. Whose fault is it they can't go into Eretz Yisrael? His fault. Shimuna Hamorim Aminasela Zanotzi Lechamayim Vayachas Asal B'Mateu Pamayim. You're not going into Eretz Yisrael. So in Devarim, in Parshas Devarim, he blames the people three times that he can't go in. Accountability for sin? Al-Chait? What are you talking about? But maybe Rav Soloveitchik gives one answer that has to do with tefillah that I've spoken about before, but maybe now we have a different answer. Why was he saying, because of you, I can't go into Eretz Yisrael? Because of you, the Yotzei Mitzrayim, you people were not ready for the Messiah. So Hashem became angry at me because of you. If you, the generation, Gam bihi sanaf Hashem biglalchem, lemor, you're not going in. If you weren't ready, then yes, it's your fault. I'm not going in. Because had you been ready, we would have all gone in together. And every year, as we read and learn once again of the death of Moshe Rabbeinu, we remember that Jewish history was inverted. The triumphant march was halted. I'm quoting Soloveitchik from Parshas Baalosha. The triumphant march was halted. Jewish history was inverted. And we are once again taken by surprise. How could it be that the greatest man, who is greater than any other, third pasuk, v'lo kam navi od b'Yisrael k'moshe, asher yado Hashem panim al panim. How could it be that this man who knew God face to face, who was so intimate with the Ribono shel Olam, has taken leave of us? And in fact, Klal Yisrael did not believe themselves that Moshe was going to take leave of them. And that's the Rashi, Parshas Hazinu, Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe, Be'etzem Hayam Hazalemor. And Hashem spoke to Moshe in the middle of that very day, saying, why does it say Be'etzem Hayam Hazal? It's on your handout. So Parshas Hazinu, which is also nice because we're not learning Hazinu together, so a little bit of insight into it says Hazinu. So Rashi says there, Bishlosha Mikamos, okay, I'm on your handout. What we're saying is that we can't believe that Moshe died in 5777, thousands of years after he died. How could it be that he died? But Klal Yisrael of that generation didn't believe he was going to die either. Even though they underappreciated him, perhaps, I just thought of something, perhaps underappreciating him means they took him for granted a little. When you take something for granted, you think it's just always going to be there and it's always like it is. And in fact, that's what Rashi tells us. Vayidav Hashem al Moshe be'etzem hayamazah. Bishlosha mikomos ne'emar be'etzem hayamazah. Three times in the Torah. By the way, it's more than three times, but Rashi's connecting these three times that have a similar message. Three times it says in the midst of that very day, where we learn that the people didn't believe something was going to happen, and it happened. So the first time is by Noach, ba'etzem hayam hazeh ba'Noach. In the midst of that very day, Noach went into the Teva. In other words, he didn't run into the Teva in the middle of the night, under the cover of darkness, put up a canopy, no one could see him. God said, go in the middle of the very day. What does that mean? When everybody can see you and acknowledge that you're going in. B'maris ora shel yom. That's exactly what it says. In the light, when the light is shining during the day, l'fi shehayu b'nei dora omrim, because the people of the generation would say, b'kach v'kach, such and such, im anu margishim bo. If we see that he's about to go in, if we feel he's about to go in, ein anu manichim oso likanes b'teva. I'm in Yerashi. We're not going to let him go into the teva. And we have to velo, oh, not only that, Ella, anunotlin, we are going to take kashilin vakardumos. It means, I'm looking at art score for this part, sledgehammers and axes, umavkiin esateva. So what do the people say? We have such disbelief. The guy's building this for 120 years. Fine, so he's delusional, and he thinks that there's going to be a flood, but now it starts to rain. Because Noach didn't go in until it was actually raining. The water pushed him in the middle of the day. So we're going to take sledgehammers and axes and we're going to break apart that teva. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Almighty said to him, Hareini Machniso B'chatzayam, he's going in during the day. And anyone who has the power in his hand to stop him should stop him. Of course, what is implied there? No one's going to be able to stop him. Continues the next time. It says, Ba'etzem hayamazah, when the people didn't believe it was going to happen, and it happened. B'mitzrayim nemar. By Mitzrayim it says, Ba'etzem hayamazah, hotzi Hashem. Klal Yisrael didn't go out at night. They didn't escape like fugitives. They left in the middle of that very day. L'fisha hayu Mitzrayim omrim. The Mitzrayim said, B'kach v'kach, im anu margishim bahem, ein anu manichim osam latzeis. If we feel they're about to leave, we're not going to give them permission to leave. Please take a hand out from the beam that's in the middle of the room. The low old, and when I read this morning, when I was reviewing my notes this morning, I thought how ironic this is, having just checked the news. What a surprise. What did they say? Not only that, but we're going to take weapons of war, and what are we going to do to them? Hargin Bahem. We're going to kill them. I thought, no kidding, you're going to kill them. What happened this morning in Eretz? What did the Mitzvim say? They're not going out, and if they try and go out, we're going to kill them. Says God, Amar Kodesh Baruch Hu, I'm taking them out in the middle of that very day. Anyone who has the power to stop them, you try and stop them. So Ba'etzem HaYom HaZeh said by Noach, because the people did not believe it was going to happen. It's said by Yitzias Mitzrayim, because the Mitzvim did not believe it was going to happen. And finally, it's said by Misas Moshe, because the people cannot believe, just like we cannot believe, that it really happened. Afkan b'misaso shal Moshe, nemar ba'etzem hayamazah, by the death of Moshe. And I bolded this part of Rashi for you. Lefisha hayu Yisrael omim, b'kach v'kach, im anu margishimo, ein anu manichim oso. Wow, such and such, if we feel he's going up to Har Nevo, we're not going to let him go. Adam shehotzianu mimitzrayim, the man who took us out of Egypt, v'kara lanu esayam, and split the sea, v'harid lanu esaman, and brought us the manna, v'higiz lanu esaslav, and brought us the slav, the meat, v'halal lanu esabair, and brought us the well, and nasam lanu esatorah, gave us the Torah. We're not going to let him go. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Almighty said, hareini machniso, v'chatzi hayam. Oh yes, you're going to let him go. And perhaps this Rashi, in a very profound level, teaches us something very important, and sometimes very sad. And that is that we look around us in life at certain situations and we think it can't happen. It's not going to happen. We're going to do everything in our power to stop this. And the Ribbono Shel Olam, who is the Dayan Emes, says, Kach v'kach. If you think it's going to be this way, it's going to be another way. Ba'atzam hayam hazak. And every year we are left bereft once again, shattered with the dashed hopes of a nation lost. Soloveitchik painfully recalls a very personal incident on the seventh day of Pesach, 5727, 1967. I awoke from a fitful sleep. A thunderstorm was raging outside. The wind and the rain blew angrily through the window. Half awake, I jumped to my feet. I closed the window. And then I remembered, my wife, she's asleep downstairs in the sunroom next to the parlor. And the window is open in her room. She could catch pneumonia. In her weakened physical condition, this would be very dangerous. So I ran downstairs. I rushed into her room. I slammed the window shut. I turned around to see whether she had awoken from the storm. Was she still sleeping? I found the room empty. The couch where she slept, neatly made up. In reality, says the Rav, she had passed away the previous month. The most tragic and frightening experience was the shock I encountered in that half a second when I turned from closing the window to find her couch was empty. I was certain a few hours earlier I was speaking with her. At 10 o'clock, we said goodnight. She retired to her room. I could not understand how could the room be empty. I thought to myself, where is she? Sometimes we too are astonished, and we say, he's not going to leave us. Moses, it's not going to happen. We're not going to let this gezeira happen. The man who did A and B and C and D and E and who put his whole life into the klal, Amar Kodesh Baruch Hu, he's going to enter into the world of truth. B'chatzi hayom. No mortal can contradict the will of God. When do we first meet Moshe Rabbeinu, the adult to be leader at the burning bush? Yes, we meet him in chapter 2 of Sefer Shemos as a little baby being rescued, floating down the Nile. We meet him as an adult who is about to embrace his role at the burning bush. And it's on your handout. It says Exodus 3:1, Sefer Shemos, Perek Yom HaPasuk Aleph. I'm after the Rashi we just quoted. Moshe was a shepherd for the flocks of Yisrael. We're going to talk about soon the fact that he was a shepherd, the priest of Midian, and he led the tzon, he led the sheep, the flocks, into the desert, and he came to Har Ha'alokim Choreva. Another name for Har Sinai is Choreva. And an angel of God appears to him from the flames, from within the thorn bush, and he sees, look at this, this is such a strange bush, it's burning. You light a tree on fire, how long do you think it's going to be there? Moshe and God spoke of the burning bush for 7 days. But this bush is not being consumed. Mitoch hasna, says Rashi, and not a different bush. I'm still in your handout. Mishum imo anochi betzara. Why? So Rashi says, why a thorn bush? It's prickly, so it represents that Kosh Baruch Hu, the Almighty, is with us in our pain. Right? So the Moshe and Hashem first meet, so to speak, in this thorn bush. Imo Anochim Betzara, Moshe's first encounter with the Almighty as he is urged to accept his mission as the leader. Now, what's very, very interesting is in this week's, in Parshas Vezos HaBracha, not this week, but in Parshas Vezos HaBracha, which is the next source on your handout, Devarim 33:16, Perek Lamed Gimel Tes Zayin, Moshe mentions the thorn bush. Where did he first meet God? We just established this. At the snap. At the end of his life, in his bracha to Yosef, he blesses all the tribes except for Shimon. In his bracha to Yosef, he mentions the snare. Look at the pasuk. Umimeged eretz umloa, uritzon shochni snare. With the delicacies of the land, umloa, its fullness, and by the will of he who dwells in the snare, tevosel rosh Yosef, it should come to the head of Yosef, and the crown of the withdrawn one from his brothers. Rashi says he was separated from his brothers, therefore he's the Nazir Echav. A Nazir has to separate himself from elements in society. Yosef was separated from his brothers. Oh, it's a compelling question. In the bracha to all the Shvatim, Moshe only mentions the snare to Yosef. He refers to God as the Shochni Sneh, the dweller, Shachin, Shechina, Shochnei Sneh. The Shechina is in the Sneh. But he does not say that to any of the other Shvatim. He only refers to Hashem as the Shochni Sneh, the dweller of the thorn bush. Who? To who? Yosef. So now we have to ask, what is the message of the Shochni Sneh? And why is it Davka to Yosef more than any of the other tribes? So, you with me? Understand the two questions? What does the snare represent? Moshe first meets God at the snare. Why? Imo Anochi Betzar. What does the snare represent that Hashem chose this as the first meeting place for the future leader? And second of all, here Moshe at the end of his life recalls God who dwells in the snare, specifically to the tribe of Yosef and none of the other Shvatim. Why? So now let's answer our questions. I was so excited when I prepared the shiur, and I'm so happy you braved the weather to come out. Rav Soloveitchik teaches, Rav Soloveitchik teaches about the sneh, that the malach appeared to him. You have the pasuk belabas eish mitoch hasneh. You have the pasuk on your end. From this flame and fire from within the sneh. So the Rav teaches, Imo Anochi Betzara, that's what Rashi already told us. What does it mean, Imo Anochi Betzara? I share their travail. I am with them in a time of crisis. Quote, when Israel experiences life as if it were in a thorn bush, when Israel lives a degraded, foul life, I am with her. Because we have to remember, when Hashem appeared to Moshe, it was a time of Shibud Mitzrayim. It was a time of Kol HaBen HaYulad HaYaret HaShlichu. It was a time in Paro shechted Jewish babies, says Rashi to Shemos 2:22, shechted Jewish babies and bathed in their blood. And then Dafka was the Sneh. I am with her, says Hashem. I share her pain. In our text, we see Hashem is Shochni Sneh, the dweller of the thorn bush. Through the contentment of the one who dwells in the thorn bush, let the blessing come upon Klal Yisrael. So Hashem is saying, even though you're in the thorn bush, you're still a blessed people. And even though you're in the thorn bush, I'm still with you. It's an attribute of the Almighty. Shochni Sneh, so interesting. We don't think that as one of the midos of Hashem. We think of midos of Hashem, he's Erech HaPayim, Rav Chesed Ve'emes, Notzer Chesed Alafim. We're coming up to Yom Kippur, we're going to say it over and over again, and Ne'ilah. But the Rav says one of the midos of Hashem is Shochni Sneh. So what does it mean? Wherever we are, no matter how bitter and bleak, no matter how painful and awful, Hashem is with us. He exhibits Ratzon, goodwill, so to speak, hard to translate Ratzon Hashem, in the sense of love. Quote, even when a man finds himself in the depth of disaster and tragedy, even when he has lost everything. And he is completely lonely. Let me get through his comments first. Completely lonely, stripped of everything he has. Hashem does not desert him. I just thought of something. Okay, so you who learn with me know that that's what I say. And I think it's saying, I spoke a miracle over Shabbos. So in the middle of one of Mashiach, I'm telling to people who I never learned with before, mostly. So in the middle of one of Mashiach, I stopped. I said, I just thought of something. I'm not sure what they thought. I just thought of something. Maybe that's why, another reason why Hashem Dafka appeared to Moshe in the desert. The Pasuk says, you have it on your hand, 3:1. Vayinahag asatzon achar hamidbar. Doesn't even say he's in the desert. In the back, it's almost like he's deep in the desert. Such a deserted, desolate place. That represented the situation of Kal Yisrael during Shiva Mitzrayim, the desolate, barren, hopeless time. There's no trees, indicating no life or growth. Eitz Chaim represents Torah. There's no Torah. It's a desert. It's such a bare. In the desert, there's no water. Ein mayim ala Torah vodazar 5b. In the desert, there's no tree. Eitz Chaim hi lemachazikim ba. There's no sign of life in the desert. There's no sign of Torah. There was no sign. Kal Yisrael was on the brink of despair in Shiva Mitzrayim. We know they were on the 49th level Tumah. Do we have a chart of the 49th level? Someone once asked me. It's a great question. They were so low, they were almost lost. So Hashem appeared to him, Dafka, in the desert, to show him, I know you're in a barren land, spiritually. And yet, Imo Anochi Betzara, I am always with you. The Shoch Nisa is always there. I want to finish this section before I take your question. All individuals, say Rav Soloveitchik, experience darkness at some point. They find themselves in the whirlwind of unexpected trouble. Hashem resides, said the Rav, even in that whirlwind. That's Shoch Nisna. That's God of the thornbush. In the unexpected whirlwind, in the bleakness of the desert, in the barrenness of no Torah, no tree, no Eitz Chaim, no mayim, there's Hashem. God's presence is in the Shechina, not only in physical distress, the Rav brings something beautiful, which is relevant to that Seder Shemay Teshuva, but also in spiritual distress. Even when a person is a sinner, Hashem never deserts him. He's in the thorn bush. It's coarse. It bears no fruit. It has no beauty. That sinful man. And nevertheless, Hashem is right there in the middle. And now I want to answer our second question. Now that we understand what the snare represents, I want to answer our second question, which is why does it so beautiful? Why does Hashem mention the snare dafka to Yosef and not any of the other tribes? Now we can answer. Was it not Yosef, the lad of 17? We're coming up to Bereishis very soon. We're going to start learning it all over again. He was thrown from his home. He was hated by his brothers. He was bereft of his mother, torn away from the Torah he loved, and his Rebbe Muvhak, of course Yaakov Avinu, thrown into the pit, the bar rake, Ein bo mayim. It's on your handout, actually, the last source on page 1. They take him. They throw him into the pit. And the pit is empty. Ein bo mayim. And the Gemara tells us of Odazar 5b, Ein mayim ala Torah. Yosef is torn away. His mother has died when he was young. His brothers despise him. He's taken away from his father, his yeshiva, his Rebbe Muvhak. He's alone in the pit. There's no God at the top of the ladder saying, hi Yosef, it's going to be okay, don't worry. Was he not left to his own devices? The only thing to encourage him, the image of his father in the window. And yet, says the Rav, when a man finds himself in the depth of despair, in the deepest tragedy, when he has lost everything and he is completely lonely, is this not Yosef HaTzadik? Stripped of everything he had, God does not desert him. I'm going to repeat that sentence now. We understand why Moshe says Shoch Nisna Dafka to Yosef. I'm going to repeat the words of the Rav. Even when a man finds himself in the depth of despair, in the darkest tragedy, when he has lost everything, and he is completely lonely, stripped of everything he has, Hashem then does not desert him. In the whirlwind of unexpected trouble, there God resides. That's Shoch Nisna. It is no wonder that specifically to the tribe of Yosef, Moshe recalls the God of the thornbush. Moshe began his career and education with the terrible time of Shibud Mitzrayim, and Hashem said, even there, in the bloodbath of Egypt, in the Shas HaShmat, in the Spanish Inquisition, in Gzeiras Tachvatah, in the pogroms, in the Holocaust, Rahman al-Islam, this morning on the street of Yerushalayim, Yer HaKodesh, Shoch Nisna, I'm there, wherever you are, however you are, whenever you are, Moshe, Hashem is with you. It's the message to Moshe when Hashem first meets him. It's the truism we see in the life of Yosef. Please turn to page 2. Yosef was stripped of everything he had. He was lonely and bereft. He was a child in mourning. He was a confused boy. And yet, the Pasuk tells us, and his master, referring to Potiphar, sees Hashem is with him. Everything he does is matzliach, and shem shamayim shagur befiv. There's a word missing from that Pasuk. No, there's not. It's just a little confusing. Vayar Adonav ki Hashem ito v'chol asher hu osa Hashem matzliach v'yado, period. Rashi, I didn't put it underneath. I continued at the end of the sentence, so it might be a little confusing, the placement. But Rashi says, ki Hashem ito shem shamayim shagur b'fiv. Yosef was new from the beginning, and he lived with the fact that even though you don't see Hashem, and it looks like a bush that's on fire, Hashem is shoch nisna. The name of Hashem was always in his mouth. It's a truism of Moshe, who meets God by the snare, Exodus 3:7. What does Hashem say? I have seen the affliction of my people. I have heard their cries, their taskmasters. I know their pain. And I want to tell you that it's a truism in the life of all of us. And that's Kapitel 91:15 on your handout. Yikra'eni, he will call to me. Ve'enehu, I will answer him. Imo anochi betzara, I am with him in distress. I will rescue him, achaltehu, achabdehu, and I will honor him. And it is no wonder then that to the tribe of Yosef, Moshe says, Hashem is shoch nisna, never forget it. 1 second, please. Okay, before I go on, I'm going to take your question slash comment.
When you are in situations of despair and being in the pit.
So how does this relate to the Chiruch?
Okay, because if I could just finish it, Hashem is always there. You can always say Hashem will pull me out of it, which is true. Where does the Chiruch Hafshi come in, and where does Hishtablus come in terms of moving out of the Matzah?
Okay. So as soon as you say Bechira Chafshi, it's like the warning signs go up in my head, because it's a very complicated topic. We spend a lot of time talking about Ashari. It's a very complicated topic. Man is always obligated to try and get himself out of the pit. We always have an obligation to do everything in our power. V'rapo yirape mikan rishus. Says the Gemara, we have to do everything in our power to help ourselves. But at a certain point, if it's just not going, Shem says, try, and I'm going to direct it this way, then sometimes it doesn't work, because that's Ratzon Hashem. But we have to do everything in our power to take ourselves out of the pit. We have to do everything in our power. That's Hishtadlus, that's Bechira Chafshis, and then we have to acknowledge, if it doesn't work out the way we want, that's because that's Ratzon Hashem. Let's go on. Salvechik teaches, in regard to meeting Moshe at the Snah, Hashem, God was ready to act. The time for the Geula had come, but there was no Moshe yet. There were two reasons for Moshe's absence. First, the potential leader whom Providence had selected for this historic role was very humble. He did not believe he could be anything more than a shepherd. So perhaps this touches upon your question a little bit. God gives us roles, and we have to find the potential within ourselves to live up to them, no matter the situation. He did not believe he could be anything more than, Ro etzon, this is my job, I'm going to be this way forever. Rabbi Akiva also thought, interestingly, I'm always going to be a shepherd. Someone saw great potential, Rachel. Someone saw great potential, Moshe Rabbeinu, and that is Ribono Shel Olam. Moreover, he fled Egypt. He had no intention of ever returning to the metropolis, says Rav Salavitch. He had no thought of renewing the kinship, friendship, common destiny that bound him to his brothers. It's a very interesting statement, because woe unto the one who thinks he is removed from the destiny of Am Yisrael. Moshe thought he ran away. Ish Mitzri Hitzilanu, an Egyptian man saved us, says the girls to their father. An unbelievable Medrash. The Medrash says that's why Moshe was not zocha to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. When he first meets these girls by the well, and they go home, and they say, we got into trouble, and Yisro says, how did you get out of trouble? And they say, Ish Mitzri Hitzilanu. And the manager says, what did Yosef call himself? I'm a Hebrew. Ish Ivri, Litzachik Banu. What does Potiphar identify himself? Ashes Potiphar identifies himself as an Ivri, because that's how he identifies himself. Moshe, she says, Ish Mitri, says the manager. He's an Ivri, he's going Eva, Layardin. He's a Mitri, he's staying in Galus. And yet, Moshe here meets God on a lonely journey. What did Moshe do at this mountain? The pasuk says, we saw it on page 1. He comes to Har Halokim Choreva, which is Har Sinai. What was Moshe doing at this mountain? Even though, says Rav Salvechik, he had separated himself from the destiny of his people, nevertheless, he went to the mountain of God, says Rav Salvechik, to pray. To Davin, his brothers should be able to rise spiritually. We just said they're on the 49th level of Tuma. Psychologically, they should develop a sense of dignity. It was a time of Hester Panim, so Moshe Davin, but there was yet no answer. However, of course, here in the bush, Hashem wakes up, so to speak. So we see all these elements of Moshe. He's the man of humility. He is the shepherd. He is the man of a lonely journey. He is the man of prayer. And what's fascinating is that those are all attributes which follow him through his entire life. I'm going to repeat them. We first meet him as a man of humility, a man who doesn't want to accept a job, a shepherd. He transfers being a shepherd to the flocks, to being a shepherd for the people. He is a man on a lonely journey, and that's something that accompanied for him forever. Shuvu lachem lo'alechem va'ata po amod imadi. The people after Matan Torah were instructed to go back to their normal married life. Moshe, you're with God, man of a lonely journey, and Moshe, a man of prayer. Rav Salvechik says, what was he doing at Har Ha'alokim Choreva? Davening for his people. These are all attributes when we first meet him. He is humble, he is a shepherd, he is davening, and he is lonely in the desert. And those are midos that carry him through his entire life, to the last moment, to the last second of his life. Moshe, however, the man who avoided prominence, rises to become the greatest leader our people have ever known. And while his body left this world, and now that we spend time mourning the man or reflecting upon the man who Moshe was, and his burial place is unknown, lo yada ish kvuraso arayamazah, we have no earthly reminder of the man Moshe, the heritage he left us, and that's the second half of today's shir, the Mesorah he passed down to us, the life he imbued within us continues to burn on, v'hasne einenu ukal, right there in the beginning we have the message, it's a time of pain, it's a time of difficulty, and you yourself are going to meet your earthly demise, but the fire of the Jew, einenu ukal, is never burned. Yes?
I was just saying that all these attributes that you gave Moshe is like all the others have the same attributes. David HaMelech has that attributes. They're all shepherds.
Okay, very nice.
They all went out to the Sada. They all were beyond, had humility.
Humility, shepherd, prayer, lonely. I think Moshe is the loneliest.
But I'm saying it's very interesting because David HaMelech also, his family
didn't accept. Okay, so we're going to talk about soon the shepherd aspect, right, which connects Moshe to David, and we can need to throw in Rabbi Akiva as well. Very nice. I want to get to, of course, very famous Pasuk. It's on your handout. It says Devarim 33:4, Parak Lamed Gimel, Pasuk Dalet, which is from Vezos HaBracha, and you all know these words off by heart, everybody here. Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe. Marasha Kilas Yaakov, and what does Rashi say there? The Torah, Asher Tziva Lanu Moshe, Marasha Hila Kilas Yaakov, the Torah that Moshe commanded us is an inheritance, is a heritage, is a Mesorah, is a lifeline to the congregation of Yaakov. Achazenvu Velona Azvena, hold on to it and don't leave it. That's the Marasha Kihilas Yaakov. So I want to talk about this pasuk a little bit. If we embrace the Marasha of Torah, the heritage of Torah, then we will be Kihilas Yaakov. Perhaps, which I never considered until preparing this shir, that statement is a little bit if-then. if you embrace Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe as a morasha, then you will be worthy to be Kehilas Yaakov. If you embrace the morasha, then you are Kehilas Yaakov. If you choose to throw off the morasha, then you are a kofar b'ikar, chalila v'chas. You are, in a certain sense, halachically not considered a Jew for certain things. Can't be an aid. Certain things that once somebody's a kofar, he's not considered Jewish for. You have to embrace the morasha to be part of Kehilas Yaakov. And as Moshe taught us, if we live by Torah, then long after we have left this world, I think, Racheli, it's very relevant to the Yahrzeit that we are commemorating, long after we leave this world, then our children and the generations who come after will continue to live as well. Educating one Jew, passing on the Masorah to one person, is generations of Jews. Not one, but generations. And that's the morasha of Torah. So I want to share with you a fantastic medrash. It's on your handout. It's Aramaic. Okay? I don't speak Aramaic, but we're going to get through this medrash. Very, very beautiful. Medrash Rabbah Vayikra Parshat Tzav. I gave you the source. Please look inside. Masa b'Rabbi Yonah. Follow along. I will be saying it and translating it. Masa b'Rabbi Yonah. A certain incident happened. If you don't have a handout, I know I said this 5 times, but please, they're on the bima in the middle of the room. Please have one. Masa b'Rabbi Yonah. An incident with Rabbi Yonah. Shahaya mahalech badarach. He was walking on the way. Vira adam echad shahaya mishupa b'yoser. He saw a guy who looked very distinguished, elegant. When you think of the word mashpia, someone who's influential. Right? Who was Mishuv Rabbi Yoter? He's an elegant and distinguished man, so Rabbi Yonah wants him as a guest. Amarle, Rabbi Yonah said to this man, Mash Gach Rabbi Miskabla Gaban, my master, please accept my invitation to come eat with me. Amarlo, the man says to Rabbi Yonah, Ein, I accept. Ein means yes, I accept. Hichniso lebeso, Rabbi Yonah brings the guy into his house. Ha'echilo vihishkuhu, vihishkuhu, vihishkahu. He brings him into his house and gives him food. He gives him drink. Look at this. The guy looks so distinguished. Badko b'mikra, he tests him in Torah. Lo matzo, guy doesn't know anything. B'mishnah, he tests him in Mishnais. Lo matzo, he doesn't know. B'agada, lo matzo, he tests him in a guy, he doesn't know. B'talmud, lo matzo, the guy is an ignoramus. He knows no level of Torah at all. Amarlo, so Rabbi Yonah is grasping for straws. Sav bareich, so at least bench birkas hamazon. Lead us in benching. Amarle, he says to him, Yivarech Yane Bivesa. It's your house, the Balabai should bench. Yanai should do the benching in his own house. Amarle, Yanai says, Is Bach Amar Madaana Amarlach? Are you able to repeat what Yanai is going to tell you? So Yanai says, so you don't know anything. I'm going to say something, you repeat it back. Amarlo Ain. So the guy says, yeah, I could repeat back what you're saying to me. Amarle, Yanai says to the man, Amar say, Achul Kalva, what is a Kalva? A Caliph. Piste, pas, bread. Diyanai, what did he just say to him? You should be able to get this. Achal Kalva, Achal Kalev, pas, Diyanai. Pas is bread. Pas is shal, pas akum. So what did he say to him? A dog ate the bread of Yanai. So what's Yanai calling the guy?
A dog.
He's insulting him. He says, you're a dog. You with me? He brings this distinguished looking elegant man home. He sits him down, he eats, he drinks, and I say, Dvar Torah at my table. Because Chazal say in Pirkei Avos, if you eat without saying a Dvar Torah, it's like Shulchan Shal Mesim. It's like a table of dead people. So he tests him. You have a Dvar Torah on Tanakh? Nothing. Okay? Mishnah? Nothing. Agada? Mar? Can you lead us in benching? Guy says, it's Yanai's house. Yanai should bench. So he says, a dog ate at my table. Come, he got up. Tafse, tafas. What does it mean? He grabbed onto him. The guest stood up and grabbed Yanai by the lapels. He holds onto him. Amarle, look what he says to him. Yerutasi gabach da'at moneli. My heritage, my possession, my inheritance is in your possession. You're holding onto my inheritance. The guy gets up and he says to Yanai, grabs him by the jacket and he says, you're holding on to my inheritance. Amarle, so Yanai says, what are you talking about? My Yerutasech Gabi, what am I holding on? What inheritance do I have that belongs to you? Amarle, follow with me please. I'm halfway through the I'm the line above the bold. So the guest said, you know what you're holding on to that's mine? Chadzman, one time, Havena aver kame beis sifra. One time I walked by a beis sifra, a school. Ushmais, and what did I hear? Kilohan, the call, the voice, the meneikai. What are the meneikos? The nursing children. I heard the voice of young children. I walked by this yeshiva, and you know what they're saying? It's in bold. The children in yeshiva were saying, Torah tzivah lanu Moshe, Marasha kilas Yaakov. Marasha kilas Yanai ain kasiv kan, says the guest. They are not saying it's Marasha kilas Yanai, Ella kilas Yaakov. Torah belongs to all of us. Talmid Chacham, Gadol Adar, in between and ignoramus alike. You're holding on. You think you own Torah. You have my inheritance. It's mine. I walked by a yeshiva, and those kids were saying, Torah's everybody's. Torah Tzivulana Mashar Kis Yaakov. They weren't saying, Kihilas Yanai, Amarle. So Yanai took the Musar. Lama Zechisa, why were you worthy? Lamechal al Pesori, the only word we don't understand there is Pesori, it means my table. Yanai said, so what did you do that you were worthy to have a meal with Yanai? Amarlo. So he gave him the answer. By the way, beautiful insight here into Bein Adam L'Chaveiro. Okay, we're in the final days of the Aseres Yemei Teshuva, Hashem Yazar. Miyomai lo shamais nila bisha. I never heard an embarrassing word, a bad word. V'chazarti lamara. I never heard Lashon Hara about someone and went to tell them what was said about them. So he was very makbid on Beit Adam Mechaver and Shemir Salashon. I never heard someone say a negative word about someone and I never went back and told them. Furthermore, v'lo chamais teirin dimish Dimis kas shin din im din. I never saw two parties quarreling. Velo yahavi shlama beinohan. I always strove to make shalom between them. Amar le Yanai understands. Kol hada derech eretz gevach. Wow, there's so much derech eretz in you. The karasicha kalba, and I called you a dog. Yanai realizes this is a very special man. He can't bench. He doesn't know Talmud. He doesn't know Agada. He doesn't know Mishnah. He doesn't know Tanakh. The guy knows nothing. But he has such a degree of derech eretz. And I called you a dog. Karale, he said about him the pasuk. I gave you the pasuk on the bottom. You see footnote 12? He said about him a pasuk from Tehillim, chapter 50, perek nun. Okay, pasuk chav gimel. It's down there. Zoveach toda yechabdanani v'sam derech arenu b'yasha. I will teach him the way. You have it down there. Yanai said about him, he acted properly. Sham derech. He knew the proper path of derech eretz. It's a play on words on the verse. Okay, Yanai was quoting an excerpt from this pasuk. Sham derech. That's the right way. And this guy knew the right way to behave, even though he was ignorant. Okay. Deshayim oreche saga shave. One who appraises his way has enormous value. This is what Yanai said. Wow, you contemplated the right path. You knew the right way to go. De Amar Rabbi Yishmael bar Rav Nachman. Rabbi Yishmael, the son of Rav Nachman, says, Esrim, look at them. Esrim v'shisha doros kadma derech eretz esa Torah. There were 26 generations before we got Torah. We had derech eretz, and your footnote tells you the 26 generations. Mishnah tells us in Pirkei Avos, 10 generations from Adam to Noach, 10 generations from Noach to Avram. Why do you look confused?
I don't get this.
Why?
The whole Mishnah puts this Rav Yanai, it represents him in such a bad light. If I invited somebody over to eat,
it represents who in such a bad light?
Rav Yanai.
Okay.
Because, so I don't know why they would put this in the Gemara, because if I invited...
Medrash.
So if I invited someone to come who was distinguished looking and didn't have a place to eat, and I realized that they didn't know Torah, they didn't know Mishnah, they didn't know how to bench, and so would I get up and call him a dog and say that he ate in my house, a dog ate in my house? It kind of like really... No, I wouldn't. I would just...
One second.
So,
why did Chazal include this in the Medrash? Because Yana is all of us. Because we all do things that we're embarrassed of, and we all call people names, and we all act in ways when Adam Mechaveru, we should not act. But Yanai is actually a givor, because he did something wrong, but he recognized it and immediately retracted and complimented the guy. Right away, he gave him a bracha. He says, wow, you're someone who knows the proper path. You have such a high degree of derech eretz. That is, deshayim orche sage shave. One who appraises his ways has enormous value. Yanai immediately said, I learned a lesson from this man. So Yanni's all of us. It's good they include it, so we know we're not alone. When we mess up, and there's hope for repair, and we know that we can immediately admit what we have done wrong and come back to Him. Let's go back to this. It's all of us.
I just want to say, I happen to have a lot of times people who are not from. I don't think I could ever give this Devar Torah when they're over. It's just very insulting.
You can't.
You can't. I'm saying you really can't. You have to be really careful.
Insulting to who?
If I have people who really don't, who don't learn or not learn it in religion and all that, I really can't say this at my table.
So first of all, don't say. You always have to be careful.
I'm just saying. It's like I'm thinking. It's
you always have to watch you say. And second of all, I don't agree with you. It's not insulting to the guests. It's insulting to Yanai. It's insulting to Yanai. But that's what the Medrash is showing us. Yanai made a mistake, and he immediately learns, I was wrong. He retracts. The guy, he took Musar from this ignoramus. Marasha Kehilas Yanai ain't Kesivkan. Ala Kehilas Yaakov. Who do you think you are, Yanai? It's insulting to Yanai, not the guest. It's complimentary of the guest. The guest was an ignoramus, but yet he had a tremendous level of Derech Eretz. And Yanai says, wow, look what I learned 26 generations before we got Torah of Kehilas Yaakov, we got Derech Eretz. How do we know? Quoting a pasuk from Bereishis. Okay, the 26 generations are given to you in footnote 13. Lishmar as Derech Eitz HaChayim. The pasuk says at the end of Perek Gimel. Derach refers to Derach Eretz. I'm finishing the Medrash. Eitz HaChayim refers to Torah. What is the Torah list first? Derach or Eitz HaChayim? See that? Derach. Derach zu Derach Eretz. V'acharkach Eitz HaChayim zu Torah. So, if anything, it's insulting to Yanai. But it also tells us that Yanai's a gibor because Yanai took the rebuke. He didn't say, I'm right. L'maisa, in the end, he said, this is a really good guy. He's a Baal Derach Eretz. And I was wrong. So Rabbi Shach explains, I just want to say one thing. I'm a quarter, I actually have 10 minutes. I'm taking the full hour. If you need, because we started late to give people time to come in. If you need to leave, I understand. I'm not insulted, but I'm not going to cut the shiur short. Okay? Rabbi Shach explains that the Derech Eretz of the Torah itself, the Torah teaches us proper behavior. By the way, Bereishis, the book of Derech Eretz, comes before Shmos, the book of Torah. Who teaches us all the things we need to know about the Derech Eretz? The founding fathers, the patriarchs, and the matriarchs. That comes before Shmos, where we get Yisro. First, we need the foundation. Derech Eretz comes 26 generations. Derech Eretz Kamala Torah. That's okay. The lessons that the Torah teaches us regarding proper behavior, says Rav Shach, decency, manners, respect for another, proper speech, other human qualities are the prerequisite for a life of Torah. And he says, Bereishis teaches us, says Rav Shach, how to treat guests, speak to others, deal with those who are brokenhearted, what to look for in a wife, how to conduct oneself when negotiating a purchase, and many other laws of interpersonal behavior. The Torah, says Rav Shach, is not only a book of laws. It teaches us everything we need to know about proper living. If one would know where to look in the Torah, he would be able to find all the answers about how to act and what to do. The Mishnah in Pirkei Avos famously says, "Imein Torah ain derech eretz, imein derech eretz ain Torah." Perek Gimel of Mishnah Yud Zayin. Rabbeinu Yonah explains, "One who's not knowledgeable in Torah will." Not have excellent character traits, as most good character traits are taught by Torah. I just thought of something. That's a stira to this Medrash. The Medrash says the guy didn't know anything, but he had good Derech Eretz. Rabbi Yonah explains, you can't have Derech Eretz without Torah. Okay, I don't have an answer right now. I thought of it as I'm speaking. Without Torah, one's character traits and morality will never be completely correct. But the guy did have something on some level because he says, I walked by the yeshiva and I heard Torah Tzivan and Masha Kilsiaka. Maybe he was striving to learn. Maybe he wanted to learn. Maybe I can't take any comments or questions right now. I need my last 5 minutes, please. Maybe he was striving to access the Torah, which he indicated to Yanai. Maybe he wanted Yanai to treat him in a different way, to teach him something. Why did he accept the invitation to sit with a Talmud Chacham? Because I walked by yeshiva and I heard him saying, this belongs to all of us. Okay? Our sages teach, Yalkut Shimoni Tehillim, Hashem tested the leadership qualities of Moshe and King David by seeing how they conducted themselves first with their flocks, a shepherd. That's what you mentioned before. A good shepherd takes care of his flock in a perfect, caring manner. His sense of commitment is highly developed. And I'm adding in, we see the same thing by Rabbi Akiva. He started as a shepherd, he ended up as the greatest Torah master. Conversely, one who cannot properly take care of sheep cannot properly take care of people. It's very interesting. Sometimes they say that, God forbid, people who torture cats, I'm not joking, end up killing people. People who don't show responsibility and commitment and care for all living beings cannot be relied upon to take care of people. Hashem, says Yalkut Shimoni, first had Moshe and David, and I'm adding in, Rabbi Akiva, act as shepherds. How do you do with the flocks? Now I know if you're going to be responsible with the people. Indeed, Derech Eretz precedes Torah, because without one without the other, you'll ultimately be deficient in both areas. Okay, I'm going to try and say this next insight very quickly, because it's really beautiful. With his demise, we have learned that Torah lives on, and it will live on. We spoke about Moshe the man. We spoke about the Marasha Kehilas Yaakov. Let's talk for 3 minutes about Yehoshua ben Nun. Okay, Moshe kibel Torah. I'm on your handout. Pirkei Avos tells us that Moshe received Torah from Sinai, and the first one who received it was Yehoshua. Yehoshua to the elders to the prophets to Anshei Knesset Agadola, and of course they down to us. The first one to receive the Torah after Moshe died, Devarim 34:9 on your handout, and Yehoshua ben Nun was full of wisdom because Moshe put his hands upon him. And the children of Israel listened to him like God commanded Moshe. So I want to talk for a minute. I heard this beautiful part. I'm so happy that my friend Rina is joining us today, because I heard her father relate this part at her son's bar mitzvahs. I love the part. So I have to tell you the cutest story. I loved it. So I went over to him after. I said, that is fantastic, Mr. Hartman. I said, who says that? Who do you think says that? Mr. Of Salvatore. Okay, so I heard it from Mr. Hartman. He related it in the name of the Rav. That's all. So I said, that's why I loved it so much. Okay. Let's talk for a minute about the relationship between Yehoshua and Moshe. The Gemara says in Bava Basra 75a, I looked up the Gemara, you're welcome to look it up for yourself. It's on your handout. Pnei Moshe kipnei Chama, Pnei Yehoshua kipnei Levana. Moshe's face is like the sun, Yehoshua's face is like the moon. You with me? Good. What's the difference between the sun and the moon? The sun, no interruptions please, the sun shines its own light. The moon reflects light. It does not have its own light. Moshe's light shone. Lo yada Moshe ki karan or panav. His light face literally shone with Torah when he came down from Har Sinai. His face shone. Yehoshua reflected Moshe's light. Now we say in a bris mila, and I was zocha to be at the bris of my new nephew 2 weeks ago, and when we read this, I was so excited because I thought of this beautiful var. We say at the bris mila ceremony, Zeha katon gadol yihia. This is the small one, he shall grow to be great. What are we referring to? So Mr. Harman explained in the name of Rav Soloveitchik, we're referring back to the sun and the moon. Zeha katon gadol yihia. If you look at Bereishis 1:16, it's on your handout. Hashem made two luminaries, the Gadol to rule by day, the sun, the Katan to rule by night, that's the moon. What is the message and the essence of this bracha to the new baby? What does this have to do with Moshe and Yehoshua? What does it have to do with all of us? The Soloveitchik explains as follows. What are you saying to the baby? Zeha Katan Gadol Yihia. Right now you're small like the moon. You should grow up to be big like the sun. So when he's coming into the covenant, Briso Shal Avram Avinu, you tell him, right now you're small. You're the katan like the moon. Take the light of the generations of your parents, of your grandparents, of everyone who comes before you. They're like the sun to you in your life. They're shining on you. Your job is to reflect that light. But as you, it's so beautiful. But as you grow, you're going to become the gadol for the next generation. That's, I love it. I have chosen what I'm telling you. That's the Mesorah that Moshe passed on to Yehoshua. Pnei Moshe kechama, pnei Yehoshua kelvana. But as the generations went on, Yehoshua masrua, the Zekanim, Yehoshua became the sun, and the Zekanim became the moon, and then the Zekanim became the sun, and the Nevi'im became the moon, and on. So what's the bracha we tell to the new baby? Zaha katad. You're like the moon. You're going to just reflect the light of your parents, and your grandparents, and your aunts, and your uncles, and your Rebbe, and your Mar, and everyone who's ever going to teach you. Gadol Yihia. One day it's going to be your job to be the sun. And pass the Mesorah on to the next generation. Pnei Moshe Kechama. Moshe was the first one who was like the sun. Yehoshua reflected that light. But Moshe died because, as great as he was, every human being dies. God is 120 years. Yoshua took that light and reflected it, and he became the son to the next generation. And isn't that, I wrote, the tafkid of every single one of us? Marasha Kilas Yaakov. We have to embrace the Torah. We all start as the katan, as the moon. That's how we start our life. But our tafkid, no matter who we are, whether we excel more in Derech Eretz or more in Torah, our tafkid is Gadol Yihya. You have to be the son to pass on the Mesorah to the next generation. And if you do, Torah will never, ever, ever be lost. Torah Tzivulanu Marasha Kilas Yaakov. And beautifully, I'm going to end with a pasuk from Yehoshua, because Moshe's greatest legacy, perhaps, I'm saying this carefully, I don't want to say his greatest legacy, one of his most important contributions is Sefer Yehoshua. Because Sefer Yehoshua proves Torah and Mesorah and Yahadus lives on after we close the book of Devarim. Lo Yamush, it's the last verse on your hand. Thank you so much for coming today. Lo yamush sefer Torah zeh mipicha. This word of Torah should never move from your mouth. V'hagisa bo yamam v'layim. By the way, it's not an accent. Yamam represents the moon, the sun, and Laila represents the moon. Whether you're the sun or the moon, wherever you are in life, excel in it by day and by night. Leman tishmer la'asos, guard it in order to do. Kechal hakasuba, take care to guard everything written in it. Ki az, because only then, tatzliach es darkecha, will you be successful on your way, va'az taska, and then you will be wise. We should be zocha. I think in life we're all the sun and the moon at the same time. We should be zocha to always take the light from those who came before us, to reflect the light to the next generation, to ensure that Torah Tzivulanu Moshe will always be Marasha Kihilas Yaakov. Amen. V'amen. I wish you a gemar v'chsima tova, v'samachta b'chagacha v'hayisa achsamech. Amen. V'amen.